Return to wherever it is today.
Mr. Sharon, the Seven Valley West Thousands.
What's all that about, the dirty bastards? What's all that about?
It's 20 to 6 in the morning. I'm going to admit to you that I just had a little bit of coffee. And I'm ashamed to say that, but there you go.
Right, well, this is it. I am letting rip tonight, sir. I have got a Cronenberg 1664. In a short while, no doubt, I'm going to get this lovely dark beer as well, which absolutely fabulous beer, which I get from the fabulous Lidl.
What's yes. it called?
It's Brains Dark, deliciously different beer.
Brains?
Brains, yeah. Now, if you go into Lidl, we're becoming like a consumer...
I think it's
a consumer podcast thing.
We are. Like the real ale twats, Valby.
Maybe we should change the name of the podcast to the real ale twats. Yeah. But this is
not that we ever drink real ale. It's cheap.
No, we don't.
Supermarket
really.
Stuff.
Exactly. This is the closest thing, really. But I love this drink. It's a Brains Dark, it's called. And you can get it from Lidl, and it's about £1.69.
Okay, so we're
going to do something.
Well, we were going to do a something wicked extra, weren't we?
Yeah.
And it's the day when the presenter, at the heart of the BBC scandal, has been named as Hugh Edwards, as people did suspect only a few hours ago, really. And
do you know, I was going to put on Facebook, Lee. I was going to put on the who done it ? ... Hugh done it. But I never got around to doing it. So
to me, I don't feel 100% comfortable talking about this. I don't like getting into tittle tattle. And, you know, obviously Hugh's going through a really seriously shit time in hospital. So I don't really want to, well, not that he's going to ever hear this, but, you know, I feel a bit guilty if I'm taking the piss. But
well,
I think our listeners would feel a bit let down if we didn't take the piss.
Well, I'm disappointed because the news came out and his wife came out with this very heartfelt thing about him being really depressed and in hospital. And I was thinking beforehand, oh, we can really let rip on this, really take the piss.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, he suffers from depression. Oh, come on. He's not a total bastard.
No, no. Well,
but the reality is, though, you know, whatever's happened here, he's been a bit of a shit to his family. Let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been a bit of a scurrilous bastard, really. Let's be honest.
Mm.
You know, because he's got about five kids. They all must be horrified in his missus. I mean, what the hell was he thinking? Taking photographs of dropping his pants and showing off his arse. I mean, have you seen that picture?
I thought that was fake at first.
Well,
you know, but this was before it was confirmed to be him.
Well, Jantz sent it through to me last night, you know, because I said, you know, because we're going to talk about Hugh Edwards, because everyone knows it was Hugh Edwards, right? It's common knowledge, wasn't it, really?
Well, I wasn't following it super close, to be honest, but I thought, is it really him? Because then I heard things like, it's not just a presenter, he's a massive star. So you start thinking of people like Graham Norton.
Apologies. But he was my first guess. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Well,
I thought it was Graham Norton.
No particular reason, but I couldn't think of a bigger BBC star than him. I did think, oh, I hope it's not Stephen Fry. Attenborough. God, imagine if it was Attenborough.
God, if it's Attenborough. Imagine.
To
be honest, though.
Dominic Littlewood, of course, went into the mix. I'm disappointed it wasn't him.
Well, I love the fact that Nicky Campbell came on and said, you look, I'm just saying it's not me. And I thought, well, I bet a lot of people did think it was you, Nicky. You are a bit of a rum sort.
Yeah,
you are a bit odd.
Well, I was disappointed it wasn't Dom because I'd come up with a new show for him, which I sent you before, which was...
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant.
Dom Gets Dirty. BBC One, 9:30 a.m. weekdays. Pint-sized squat consumer thag Dominic Littlewood investigates the seedy and nefarious world of online wanking as he beats his little ward to cowboy builders prancing about in their underwear. So
I was thinking also that Dom Gets Dirty could also be about Dominic doing like really dirty jobs. So working at a sewage farm, for example, for a week.
I think there might even be a show called Dom Gets Dirty.
It probably is.
What if he was down a sewage farm? I'm swilling out the pigs. Yeah, Dom Gets Dirty.
I'm in a German fisting movie.
I'm cleaning the toilets at a festival. Now that is dirty.
I'm working for the Tories.
Can't get dirtier than that.
Yeah, so in a way, it was a bit underwhelming to find out it was Hugh Edwards. Because did anyone have an opinion on Hugh Edwards before this?
It's kind of surreal that it is Hugh Edwards, though, isn't it? Because yes. He's so kind of very, very upright and Welsh and chapel, very chapel, you know. Mm. And he's very, very much a royalist, very much a historian. And the only thing I said this to Jackie, I said, the one thing that got me is recently I noticed he has a really modern haircut, like he's down with the kids, 61-year-old.
You're right there, yeah.
And I was thinking, what's going on with his hair? Why is he trying to be like a fucking hipster all of a sudden? What's going on there? You know, which is a bit unfair of me, really. But it does seem really odd. I shouldn't be surprised, though. It's always the way, isn't it, that, like, you know, royalist sort of establishment figure ends up being a bit of a weird... Alleged. Right. So, you know. And I think it is boys, innit? I don't think it's girls. I think it's boys. I've got a strong vibe. Not that the gender should really matter who he's bloody getting in touch with.
I think in a way, if it is boys or men, that to me is more forgiving than it being girls. Because if Hugh has had to lead this secret second life, having been married, then it just seems like it would be more of a betrayal if he was cheating with other women.
Well, to his wife, but I mean, to his kids, it must be. God, it's a lot to fucking process there, isn't there? Fucking hell.
Well,
it's bloody hard work, that, isn't it?
Yes, I presume most of them are grown up, but yeah. The way people have been acting on Twitter and demanding to know who this presenter is, it's not in the public interest. They just want to know for a bit of gossip, don't they, and to have a go.
Yeah, they do. The big issue is about the BBC.
Well, I don't think they've behaved that bad, to be honest. I think they're following police advice. The police are doing an investigation. They've suspended him. I mean, there wasn't any reason I could see whether they needed to name him.
They didn't follow up the initial complaint, did they, very well, I don't think. Now, fair enough, the parents obviously didn't return the call and all this, that and the other, but... Irrespective of whether they've followed protocol, one thing or another, the big thing with the BBC here is the trust factor. And again, it's damaging in it to the BBC because yet again, there's a very establishment kind of figure getting paid a lot of money. Let's not forget, This guy gets paid a shitload of money from the BBC, which is paid for by us, right? Getting paid
He's frittering it away.
And he's giving 35 grand to some guy for some nudie pics of his dick. He's like some middle-aged Roman Roy, for fuck's sake. And then he's showing off his backside, you know. I mean, what's that all about? If it's real, it's going to be, it might not be.
You could argue that, and he may well argue this, that he had some sort of mental breakdown or he's got a split personality.
Well, that's what they're alluding to. Sorry to sound cynical, but that's kind of what's being alluded to by his wife, and part of you, I mean, I don't want to sound awful because he has suffered from mental health problems, but from depression, he suffered from depression. Depression doesn't necessarily mean that you end up doing something as kind of crazy as what he's been alleged to have done, which is to go on bloody dating sites online as himself, exposing pictures of himself, demanding pictures of other people and sending out information. I mean, this is a fucking nationally known person. In Wales, he's like a national fucking treasure. Let me tell you now, he's very well thought of in Wales. Not anymore. It's a fucking pure Rolf Harris moment in Wales, I tell you. It's going to be very shocking. There'll be a lot of old people going
to chapel. Nothing like that, though, is it?
again.
It's nothing like a Rolf Harris moment.
No, no, but what I mean is there's going to be a lot of...
It. It's the moralising, isn't it?
Because round here, they, honestly, mate, it's like, oh, did you see him do the History of Wales? Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. Phew. And the way he carried the Queen's funeral beautifully. Such class, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And the reality is that, you know, he's there like pinging out messages with one hand and he's got his fucking cock in the other.
I know, it's just... I mean, the mental health side is quite interesting, isn't it? I mean, people are saying, oh, he's playing the mental health card. I don't think it's like that. I mean, this is going to affect anyone's mental health, whether they've suffered from depression anyway. There's not much worse that could happen to somebody. A public figure gets humiliated. You know, I mean, I know he did wrong in cheating on his wife and everything like that. That's awful. But his life's fucked, isn't it? I mean, he's going to lose.
I agree with that.
I mean, he might. I mean, I think it's the same with the Phil Schofield thing, is that when Philip Schofield came out and gave his side of it, I think the public perception changed and a lot of people were on his side again and saying, well, he's not actually committed any crime here and he's not groomed a 15-year-old boy as was suspected or reported. I don't know what Hugh's going to say if he says anything, but at the time when this broke, he must have felt, if not suicidal, just in absolute panic and despair.
Well,
so
I would say he's going to kill himself. I actually said that. I said he's going to do himself in on this.
Yeah.
And he must be pretty close to doing that, to be honest, because when you think about it, it's not... You don't come back from this, do you, as a television presenter?
It depends what the truth is, I think.
I think the thing is, in the past, people sort of have... Frank Boff kind of came back a little bit, only a little bit, little bit of telly,
yeah.
I think, vaguely remember, after what he did. But it was kind of different, wasn't it? He was going and just
into bondage, which would be a non-story, probably, these days.
Yeah, he's doing lines of coke and bondage with some hookers, yeah.
But I think people sort of admire that in a way, don't they? That they are this completely different person. They just let rip at the weekend.
Max Mosley just didn't give a shit. I mean, he went actually dressed as Nazis.
When his father
was a fucking Nazi. And then he just said, oh, no, it's just a uniform. I'm not a Nazi. Fuck off. Took him to court and he won, didn't he?
Yeah.
Won his case, you know.
When people do stand up to him and say, look, it's my business. It's not affecting anybody else. You know, why is... this of interest, doesn't this say more about you, the press, than it does about me?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's similar to the way the press used to treat gay rock stars like Freddie Mercury and Elton John, acting like it was perverted. You know, I remember picking up a paper and seeing Elton John described as pop bender. Pop bender, Elton John releases his 14th studio album.
Get away with that.
But they did, and they hounded Freddie, and saying, oh, Freddie's got AIDS. It was just horrible. Yeah. And there was a backlash against that.
Well, there is a big argument, and it's something to be said, that it is the right-wing media, especially The Sun, The Sun's way of getting at the BBC, because Rupert Murdoch fucking hates the BBC, right? But it's like right-wing press really trying to undermine the BBC. And maybe probably the right of the Tory government wanting to undermine the BBC. That's what they want to do. Mm. You know, and I'm obviously I'm the furthest thing in the world from a Tory, as anyone who listens to this would know. But I sometimes want to undermine the BBC, though, because I think sometimes they get it wrong. I think they are. I hate that word woke, because I think I hate that. I really do. But they are far too clingy to what they believe is right all the time. They overpay their fucking presenters terribly, thinking that somehow they're important. What people would really want from the BBC is to have new up-and-coming people who are good at their job and let the so-called stars, let them go to commercial television and make a fortune doing that, but not on the BBC. Everything on the BBC should be costed.
Yeah, I know. I do find that odd, really.
It's too
expensive.
For Gary Lineker, let him just go to BT Sport. Yeah. You know, let him do that. I mean, I've got nothing against Gary Lineker at all. Quite like the bloke. But don't be paying him £1 million a year thinking that somehow that's the reason why people watch Match of the Day. Is it for?
That's it. No one cares who the presenter is.
Is it for?
Tuning exactly. to see Gary. You know, I mean, he's probably the best presenter that does it. But
if they want a chat show host or host, get you and me on doing it. We'd be fucking great. We'd get a list of questions to people. They don't need some toss spot. They don't need Graham Norton. Get somebody else in. Let him go on commercial television, like they did with Jonathan Ross.
I think Graham Norton's role is different to the likes of Lineker and Hugh Edwards. Because
A bit long the tooth
I
now.
I think it's like a variety comedy type chat show. I think he does bring a lot of it. I don't watch it particularly, but I think he is very funny.
He is funny. And he's good at interviewing. He's been doing the same shit all the time for years. Yeah, his chair and, pull the trigger on the chair. And it's the same formula. He's been doing it. Jonathan Ross had the same formula for years. Don't forget, they're getting paid like £1 million a year, these people.
I think £1 million a year. Isn't it?
Yeah, it is more. It is. Is he more like two, Lineker? Hugh Edwards was on £500,000 a year, something like that. £500,000 a year. That's why he can fucking chuck £35,000 for some sex pictures of a 17-year-old or whatever it was, or 20-year-old.
No one cares about really who reads the news. It's not about bringing personality. It's just like, just tell us what the news is.
Exactly.
So I don't understand why they do need to pay news readers that much.
Oh God, we'll all be devastated if George Alagaya isn't reading the fucking news next week. You know, get somebody else to do it. It's fucking bollocks, isn't it? All of them shifting around the bloody merry-go-round, shifting. One minute they're here, the next minute, like Raggy Omar, once he's on the BBC, now he's on ITV. In a short period of time, he'll be on Talk TV with fucking Piers Morgan. They're all doing it, aren't they? They're all on the gravy train. They are, aren't they? They're all on the fucking gravy train.
There's too many of them for a start.
There's too many.
I don't mean foreigners like Raggy Omar. Too many news readers.
We love you, Raggy. I like Raggy.
They only work, you know, I mean, it's like they work 2 weeks on, then they have a break, and then Fiona Bruce or Rita Chakrabarty is doing it. What are you doing, Hugh? Why are we paying
you? It's remarkable.
Well, we know what you're doing.
It's like with the cricket. Do you know, when you test match special, if you notice, that I don't know if you will, actually, because you don't follow it like me, but they'll have, like, Jonathan Agnew will come on, and he'll have, like, Phil Tufnell with him or something like that. And they'll be on for about 45 minutes to an hour. And then, they've got to have a break. They fuck off somewhere. And another pair come on. And then another pair come on. And then they come on back on 3 hours later.
Yeah.
So they only do, like, 1 hour on, and then 2 hours off before they come back. It's a fuck off.
It's like the fucking... one show presenters, like a cast of thousands.
It is, honestly, when you get your foot in the door. And the thing with the BBC as well, and this says a lot about us, when we sent off Showbiz Asylum to the BBC and we got that patronising letter back saying, it's funny and the performances are great.
Did we get a letter from the BBC?
Yeah, we got a letter back from them. And it was from the person who, you know what she did? She did 3 pints of lager and a packet of fucking crisps, whatever it's called. With Ralph Little. Oh, what a talent. Will Mellor and those two girls. She's quite good. What's her name? It was inside.
Oh, Sheridan Smith, yeah.
Sheridan Smith. But
whatever happened to the other one?
I don't know.
Got
to have tits out on some show somewhere. I don't know. I've seen her. I saw her in something else, but...
She was in Hollyoaks.
It's not them anyway. They're quite good actors, I suppose. Yeah. But the show was dreadful.
I know.
Dreadful programme. And so much dross on the Beeb, you know. And it's kind of like, if your face fits... Well, nowadays, apparently, if you are a white male, your face doesn't fit. You know, if you're a 30-something white male, and obviously I'm a 50-something white male, but if you're a 30-something white male, it's very, very hard to get anything done at the BBC because they're trying to be so right on. I'm not going to use that word woke because I don't really like that, but they are trying to be so right on. Yeah. You only have to listen to, like, Radio 4. Like, we've made this joke before, but The Archers is hilarious now. Hilarious. It's like Mr. Kumar runs the fucking dairy. You know what I mean?
Well, that was Mr. Ottenbio.
You know, it is ridiculous. Yeah, Mr. Ottenbio is taking over the new farm in Ambridge. Hello. Yes. Would you like to buy some of my dairy product?
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, great to meet you, Mr. Attenborough. Cough. Bullshit.
Yeah. The fascinating thing for me in this saga is this a symptom of midlife crisis? Because this, or not midlife, because I mean, it happens to, you know, it's usually older blokes, but so many blokes who seem to have these very, very boring, mundane lives, married, very clean cut, and then they go and do something like this. Do you think it's partly because they do have this image and they think, I want to do something decadent, or I want to do, fuck it, I'm sick of being a boring bastard, you know?
It's because they're a bunch of fucking repressed chapel bastards. No offence to them. But, I mean, there's a lot of that in Wales. There's a load of that here. There's a lot of, like, repression here. I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand. There's so much of it. It's like, oh, don't make a fuss. Don't say, don't speak out of line. Don't do this, don't do that. Oh, be polite, be friendly. Well, sometimes, you know, it's not the Mancunian way, which is, you know, here, mate, come here, give us that, you know. When we first came to live here, something I noticed it was really weird, that I thought was really weird. I remember I was like in a supermarket looking, trying to find something, right? Looking for something. And then I could feel the presence of someone behind me. And I thought, why? They're not fucking saying anything like that. And now if it's in Manchester, you go, here, mate, can I just get that? Cheers, mate. Soz. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just stood behind me for ages while I was there waiting, looking for something. They didn't say a word. They just waited until I was finished. You don't get that in Manchester, do you?
No.
You don't get that. People will go, yeah, mate, Soz, excuse me. Like that. You don't get that round here.
Yeah.
And that's really weird. But, if they get the opportunity to have a moan about something, they'll fucking have a moan. I'll fucking tell you. Mm. So it's that Presbyterian chapel kind of society that there is. It's like, oh, it's bottled in like that. And so I think there's a lot of that. So if it is like latent homosexuality, for example, that's been suppressed, you know?
If you is gay and he's had to lead a double life, then you'd think a normal way for him to act would be to, you know, maybe go and have a few hookups or even a relationship, you know, with someone of his age. But to actually go online and
exactly, mate, that's the thing
with
that gets me.
Young lads, we're assuming, and do webcam stuff in his undies, show his arse. I mean, it's like he's got a death wish. I'm so fucking boring, I'm gonna prove to myself
that I'm not
different
that boring.
Sides of it.
It's
really taken it to another level, and it does seem to happen. It's like a lot of the, you know, the Tories MPs that were, or civil servants that were caught in compromising positions, you know, auto asphyxiation, you know, whilst dressed in stockings and suspenders with an orange in the mouth. And it just seems to be the more clean cut somebody is.
Yeah, it's always the Tories, mate.
The more
it's always the fucking Tories.
Extreme they go in the behaviour.
It's the Tories, or, you know, maybe I can say it, the repressed Welsh. Because you remember that Labour MP who got caught on fucking, that Welsh Labour MP got caught on bloody the Common in London.
Yeah.
You know, he was proper rugby lad too. Oh, yeah, you know, boy, oh, yeah. So, let me tell you something now. Blah, 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 blah. Union, you know, there he was. It's like, you know, it's a common knowledge. Let me tell you now, it's common knowledge, right, that Max Boyce is gay. So, you know, right? I don't think he's ever come out. He's always been nobbling fellas. It's a well-known thing. But it's, oh, you can't, you know. I couldn't do that to my poor mother.
I mean, especially,
I'm saying this because I am half Welsh. So I am, you know, I think I've got a little bit of a right. I'm not being anti-Welsh. I am fucking Welsh and I live in Wales. But I've seen it with my own family, right?
Mm.
I've seen that a little bit of suppressed thing going on, that repression there. But, you know, and I am an outspoken person. I admit that and all that. But sometimes I wish people would be a bit more honest, because it is the reality. It is the truth, especially those people who do a lot of, you know, church. It might also be because a lot of people in Wales live in like small communities. So they don't, you know, they keep the powder dry and they keep it under their hat. They don't really let rip. because it's a lot of places in Wales are built on like little villages, little communities. Maybe a bit different in the big cities in Wales, but a lot of Wales is built around small villages, small areas, pretty little places, but everybody's into your business. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they know what you're about. So I think there's a lot of that too, people keeping things under their hat a bit. But there is a lot of repression here, you know. I've no doubt about it. And I think he's a troubled man, you know.
You do think he's taken leave of his senses. I mean, to do that anyway when you're married, but if you're a public figure and you're actually stupid enough to put yourself on webcams,
I mean, what's it all about?
Transfer money from your own account, if that is what happened. I mean, it is almost like you're asking to be caught.
It's a death wish, isn't it?
Yeah,
that it's really like, is a cry for help.
I mean, it could be that. And
it's a cry for help.
I have read that, you know, to humiliate yourself is like very cleansing in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you've then got, you know, when you're trying to maintain this image of respectability, yeah, it can be really hard work and quite damaging in a way.
Well, I've humiliated myself so many times.
Well, that's it. I think
I'm cleansed.
It's not nice at the time, but you can feel better for doing it, can't you? Because
yeah,
it's like, well, I don't need to worry about that anymore.
I think a lot of people are just quite, there's a lot of repression in the world. A lot of people, you know, they're afraid, you know, a lot of people don't really want to express themselves a lot or afraid to. And if someone is a little bit too much, perhaps, ooh, you know, be careful. Don't, you know, I've always been a bit like, why? What's going to happen? What the fuck's going to happen if I do? Nothing really. Nothing. See, I'm somebody who's done mad things, like come on stage with my testicles out, and you know,
yeah.
I've done crazy stuff and taken a few chances and risks. But you know, the reality is that just being fairly honest with myself, really, I think in doing that, I think it's the other way is much more difficult when you set yourself up to be something.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to maintain this image that isn't really you. I mean, his image was, he had a lot of integrity, very well respected. And he probably thought, that's not me. I'm a cunt, really.
Yeah. It's all,
you know, I've been cheating on my wife for ages. I've been.
Oh, hello, Vicar Diocavarion. Very good today. I love the sermon today. It was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Oi, croeso. You're welcome. Thank you. And all this, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And that's great, but underlying it is that kind of, I just want to get my hands on some cock. But what I don't get, just like you said, Lee, though, what I don't get is why, if that's the case, though, and he wanted to maintain this clean-cut public image, literally clean-cut, he always looks so clean-cut. Maybe that was a hint that maybe he's a little bit on the gay side, because he's quite immaculate, you know. Gay people are better at being immaculate than us scruffy heteros like me. I'm terrible. And the thing is that he always looks super immaculate. I said, can you get in on a bit now, Hugh? You don't need to be trying that hard, surely, for God's sake. But the thing is, why didn't he just get himself a bit of a twinky twanky rent boy, you know?
I don't know. I mean, maybe that isn't.
He's got loads of money. You know,
people do have
a really good looking young 20-year-old rent boy to have some fun with, and nobody would have, you know.
Maybe that wasn't thrilling enough for it. Maybe it was the thrill. No.
But I bet he's not feeling it now because he's kids. No.
He's not thinking about it, is he, whilst he's hooking up with this guy on the internet. It's only afterwards when it comes out and you get caught.
Well, you know, thank God that I just think I'm really more interested in having a nice beer these days.
Well, this is it. I mean, I didn't think that sometimes you can't control these urges, can you?
Well, of course. I mean, we still.
And if that's your peccadillo, you can't necessarily sweep that away.
No, well, and, you know, there's still even as an old fart at 55. You know, like there's still days when I'm a bit more juiced up in that way than other days. You know, and I'm thinking, yeah. A bit, but it's kind of, it's a lot easier to just, surely, as you get old, a lot easier to just go, well, I'll just I'll just deal with that and then I can move on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But when you're getting old, you really need all that fucking elaborate baggage.
I think there is so many men that stay in marriages and they just don't fancy their wives or they don't love them. And they're doing it for the kids. They're doing it because they've got a mortgage together. They're doing it for the reputation. They're churchgoers. He could have been miserable as sin and not for any fault of her.
No.
He needed this.
Listen, I don't think that's it, because I've seen pictures of him and his wife and they're holding hands and they seem to get on very well. It might be that she knows. She might very well know.
I don't know how a wife cannot know. If Hugh is out and out gay,
she might absolutely love him for him, not necessarily sexually, but she might just love him as a companion. You know what I mean? As you're getting older, the companionship becomes more...
No, but blokes still, you know, have those urges.
Well, then have a wank. Have a fucking wank.
No, but I think it doesn't die as soon. I mean, I could be generalising here, but it appears that, you know, women become less and less interested in sex the older they get, whereas men don't lose that for a very long time.
Well, maybe so, but, you know, it does tend to get a bit less as you get older. But surely... wisdom would say, listen, if you get caught in a honey trap and there's some woman that, you know, is besotted with you and you get lured in some kind of midlife crisis, that's understandable. Or, and same with the fella, you know, if it's a young, handsome chap that's really appealing to you, whatever, that's understandable. It can happen. But to actively go looking for such high risk stuff.
Yeah. As I say, it's the high risk element, isn't it?
If you really, really needed to have a bit of action, really needed, is that the best way to go about it?
It's deliberately reckless. I think that's part of the thrill, isn't it?
I think it is. I think you might well be right here, fella. I think there might be a lot more to this.
You know, if someone said Hugh Edwards is bipolar, you might say this is like symptomatic of a bipolar episode.
You know what? You might
inhibitions are out the window, but it's not been said that he's bipolar.
Well, no one said anything because maybe he's not been diagnosed. He could very well be bipolar, mate. That could very well be what it is, because it is so unusual.
It's not the same as the Phil, is it? I mean, the Phil thing was quite discreet, apart from people at work spotted it.
Yeah.
But he wasn't being reckless.
No. This is different. He was very, well, Phil, I think the thing is there, he was, on the whole, quite careful with how he went about that.
Yeah.
It was Holly Willoughby, really, wasn't it, who sold him down the fucking river over it all. You know?
I've forgotten now, Dave.
I think that's how it panned out, didn't it? She got a bit funny about it all. Yeah, she was going to fucking blow a gasket on him, and he had to end up confessing that he'd had an affair, because she felt betrayed or something. Oh. This is totally different. This appears to be, let's put it this way, allegedly, appears to be something that has been going on surreptitiously for quite a long time. Yeah. And possibly, like you say, it's been the thrill of the danger of being caught, because there's plenty of other ways that a powerful man or woman could do nefarious activities in a much more discreet way. Loads of ways. You know?
Yeah.
You're telling me that most of the royals haven't done it? Of course they have. This is why Andrew's such a fucking dick, because there's plenty of ways he could end up having women come to him and this, that, and the bleeding other.
Yeah.
Discreetly done. Very discreetly done.
You can imagine Hugh waking up on a Sunday, right? His day's been planned out for him. Dog walk with a wife in the morning. Then he's got the in-laws over for Sunday lunch.
Yeah.
And then he's watched Songs of Praise, as he always has to. He feels obliged to. And then...
All he can think of is dick.
All he can think of is getting in his box room and logging on, getting in his undies. And his wife is like, oh, Carol's just called me, seeing if I wanted a quick drink. Oh, you go, love. Don't worry about me. I'll be all right. The Antiques Roadshow's coming on, you know. He's like, yes. And he's in his box room.
Dad, are you going to watch Rugby Special with us? In a bit.
Just making a few bank transfers. Match of the day two's on, Dad.
In a bit.
You're all right.
Oh, shit.
Oh, brilliant. But that might be it. He might have been, his life was so predictable and dull that he needed that. I think men do in a way, Dave. I think we all, speaking as a middle-aged man, you do sometimes reflect and think, oh, fucking hell, what's happened?
Yeah.
My life is so predictable. And, you know, luckily we've got this as a bit of an outlet. And,
absolutely.
You know, you do other stuff and you need not to be a boring bastard.
Or you need, exactly.
Hope you're not a boring bastard.
Well, exactly. Hope you're not. This is it, thing. But I think that there'd be a lot of people who'd love to be able to do what we do with this, which is brilliant. It's a great outlet. And the thing is, it is a great reason to stay in touch as well. So we can, it's almost like a night at the pub, but yeah, in podcast form. That's what this was always going to be, wasn't it? The rambling of two mates at the pub, chewing the fat about what's gone on. And we put it out as a podcast and people, dare I say it, people seem to really like it, which is great. You know, and that's an even bigger plus point for us. It's fantastic. But you do need some outlets. You know, you need an outlet. And some people, it's going to be playing around a golf or something like that, which doesn't tickle my fancy, to be honest. You know, I got asked that by some fellas I know the other day. They went, Dave, do you play golf? I went, no. And they said, Dave, do you fancy a round, though? I said, no. It just doesn't appeal to me at all.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I've never been sort of tempted down the wanking online.
No, the wanking online roots, is probably, you know, not.
It's never really been on my radar, that.
It probably doesn't lead. Probably doesn't lead anywhere, does it, really?
No.
You know, it doesn't really get you anywhere, does it?
Utter disgrace.
Shocking. Again, it come back to the fact that surely, I don't know. I mean, what was it? The thrill of like trying to communicate with other people or something. But, you know, surely if it was just a question of getting your rocks off, just going and you've got loads of money. This is the thing. I can understand people who haven't got loads of money who are feeling horny going online. Okay.
Yeah.
To get the rocks off. It's a kind of maybe it's a cheap way for people who haven't got much in their lives to get a little bit of escapism. You can see that, can't you?
Yeah.
Think, you know, go online, have a chat with somebody. Maybe you get lucky and you get a bit fruity. And that's fair enough. If you haven't got a lot of money and you're a nobody and it's not, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. No one's ever going to know about it. Blah, blah, blah. But for a millionaire known throughout Britain, you know, instantly known throughout Britain, to go on there and do that, expose his bottom, amongst other things. I'm sure there's going to be more that comes out from this. You know, who knows? Is that a fake photo? Who knows? But it's an incredible story, really, when you look at it like that.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's far beyond anything, I think, we've seen in the world of celebrity. You know, I mean, the Felix Schofield thing was massive, but
it's nothing
completely different, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't it? Totally. I mean, I know there was the aspect of whether he was a child at the time, but
I still think that's pretty dodgy, to be honest with you. There's some dodgy shit going on there.
Well, we've never heard the other guy's side of the story, have we? This Matthew. But it reminded me, I remember seeing there was a documentary made by this, I think he made it. It was, you know, Dan Lobb. Have you ever heard of Dan Lobb?
That rings a bell.
He's like, he's always, I don't know what he did, but he probably did like daytime presenting. And he was scammed online, right? So I think he got a text out of the blue from this girl called Stacey.
Right.
And he started communicating with her and she suggested, oh, they just talk to each other online. And, you know, things developed from there. But she said, oh, my microphone's broke, so I'm going to have to type all this. But he could see her. So he starts wanking away. And then, and unbeknown to him, he's being filmed. I think they sold the video. It was available on this website where you could buy celebrity wanking videos. Because he wasn't the only one caught in this way. I'll tell you who else was caught. Do you know Joel Dromit?
I thought you were going to say Leslie Grantham.
No, no. Joel Dromit, who, does he do the Masked Singer?
Oh, yeah, him.
Yeah. He was caught in exactly the same way, but the scam was quite clever, really, because it was obviously some blokes behind it. Right. And they had this generic recording of a cam girl doing all the stuff and that. And they were the ones typing. So they were encouraging him and getting him going and all this. Yeah, I couldn't imagine anything worse.
It would be embarrassing.
Fucking hell. I mean, yeah. That video is out there. Someone can pay terrible to watch you having a wank. I mean, it's just awful, isn't it? Terrible. I mean, some might say it's flattering if they want to pay 50 quid for that.
I know.
And that was quite a funny aspect of it, because there was all these different videos and they were ranked. You know, a bit like you get the Cameo celebrities and you see, oh, you can pay 20 quid, you get Svengoor and Ericsson, or if you pay 150 quid, you get Dominic Littlewood or Todd Carty or someone like that. So it was a similar sort of pricing structure. The more people that showed interest in a video, the higher the price became, you see.
I mean, the thing is, it was kind of like really bizarre when Leslie Grantham was caught doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But for it to be Hugh Edwards is... You know, it might as well be the Archbishop of Canterbury. Weird, isn't it? It's just...
Well, they're a bit dodgy, they're fucking...
Religious. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, of course.
Repressed.
Again, it's all about repression in it, I think. Mm. And also, it was a house of cards that he knew that was going to get blown down. I think he was playing a very dangerous game. I think that's what's happened here.
Yeah. I mean, it did happen over 3 years, didn't it? So... I suppose you can't really write it off as a momentary, what do they call it? A momentary lapse of judgment, the politicians tend to say.
If it's over 3 years, Lee, in reality, it's probably been over about 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot going on there.
Well, he's not suddenly realised age 60 odd that he's gay, has he?
No, no. And he's not.
If he is, I mean, we still don't actually know if this is gay, do we? But I think...
The giveaway was, there was a thing I was listening to yesterday and the person was trying to stay gender neutral. And then he said he, and I thought, oh, hello, hang on a minute. Listen, if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one on the next pod to come and say, I am so sorry, I got that wrong. Maybe it is girls. What the hell difference does it make whether it's boys or girls, really? You know, what was he doing? What was he doing? And even more so in some respects, if it was young women, because God only knows, sadly, in the reality of the world, there's so much opportunity for a dirty old man to go and help himself with money to beautiful women, because there's plenty out there who are selling themselves as an escort or whatever. You know, I just, it's got to be about the danger. It's not even, I'm wondering even if it's about gender. Maybe it's been both. Maybe it's been both. And it's been about the danger. It's been about the desire to, it's got to be a bit of a power trip as well, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there. There is a lot going on there, really. But unfortunately, rightly or wrongly, it is going to damage the BBC's reputation again, because there's more and more people coming out saying this happened. And the argument will be, well, why were the BBC the last to know about this? And it is probably wrongly, because this is somebody's private life. But
it is, you see. I mean, he's just employed to read the news. He's not there
to be
a paragon of virtue, is he?
My feeling is...
I get that it does have reputational damage and they don't want their presenters. They probably have to sign some sort of contract. Or there's a gross misconduct clause that says, you know, if you do something in your personal life, then that can impact on your job. And we can't.
I bet most of them, Lee, in the media and in TV land and everything else go, oh, God, there for the grace of God go I. Because I bet half of them, with their massive egos and all the fucking strange peccadilloes that they've got going and everything else, right? And I know a bit about a few people as well, dare I say, that are a little bit. I can't really talk about this on here, but there's a lot of rum shit going on, right, in celebrity world, isn't there?
Tony Hadley.
Yeah, there's that. There's that. And, right, this doesn't go on air, does it? You know.
No.
Really rum twat. Can't go on air this because...
Dave, don't worry, mate, honestly. I think that's sort of half known, isn't it?
And he's probably thinking of things that he's done when he's been off his tits. He's probably lucky not to be investigated a little bit over some of his behaviour. Let's put it that way. So there's a lot of rum shit going on in the celebrity world. And there are probably people out there who have, one, got away with it, and two, thinking, oh, God, there for the grace of God go I. You know what I mean?
Mm. This might be a wake-up call for some of them. You know, we are sort of doing stuff.
Because you think about it, you're in this incredible position of power. You've got loads of people like, oh, it's you, you know, all this kind of stuff going on. You get your ego inflated every fucking day off people.
Mm.
You're paid exorbitant sums of money. And it is exorbitant compared to other people. It's ridiculous. So in any walk of life in the media, in the broader sense of the media, there is pitfalls because you have probably an overinflated sense of self that you feel you can do anything.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's an element of feeling untouchable, isn't there?
Totally.
And when you're dealing with the general public, you view them as little people or...
Yeah.
As worthless, and you can pretty much do what you want. I'm not saying Hugh has got that attitude, but you definitely see it in the celebrity world.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time, you're fair game, aren't you, for someone to take advantage and set you up and blackmail you. You know, I mean, how many footballers have been accused of rape?
That's unbelievable.
It must be pretty scary to just be that vulnerable to do any sort of accusation, because people are always trying to make money out of you, aren't they, if you're in the public eye.
The thing with footballers is you have that fan base thing, which is a bit crazy though. So this situation, and I've heard it from people, I've heard it from people around here. Was it a Wrexham player that was accused of rape a few years ago? And I heard a few people say that, oh no, he's good lad. Like this. And I was thinking, hang on a minute. Just because he's good at football, just because you think he's a good lad and you like him in the team, does not fucking mean that he's not an absolute ratbag fucking scoundrel rapist scumbag. You know, it's really difficult. And let's be honest, like, as a sort of plastic red, you know, I'm not even a red anymore, really, let's be honest. Couldn't give a shit. But the reality is, the amount of United fans that would still say, oh, Ryan Giggs, what a guy, what a player. Ryan Giggs is a turd.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt he's an absolute fucking ferret scumbag shithouse. Shafting your own brother's for years on end. I mean,
well, that's it. But you've got to separate.
How fucking low is that?
You've got to separate the really shitty, horrible behaviour from criminal offences.
You know, if you're in that position where you've got all this success, you're having your ego bloody massaged all the time, people throwing themselves at you for autographs and one thing or another, and I think especially sportsmen, the pressure must be. You know, can you imagine? I'm going to use a cricket example here, but can you imagine the pressure that somebody like Ben Stokes, for example, must be under, who consistently does kind of really heroic shit as a sportsman? Not like your footballer who does the odd thing here or there, but, you know, I don't know if you've been seeing any of this Ashes, but, I mean, he has been incredible, almost winning games from nowhere again. You know, he's always doing these kind of Botham-esque things, for want of a better expression. And in years to come, they'll be calling it Stoke-esque, won't they? Because he is remarkable what he does. So you've got someone who has a right in some ways to feel like he's a Superman. You know, can you imagine the pressure on that kind of person to, you know,
well, he's going to get hassled by blokes when he's out, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, some want to pick a fight with him, though, you know.
Yeah.
Some.
Which has happened.
You're picking the wrong bloke. You know, maybe women will throw themselves at him. I don't
know. That's what I'm getting at, really, that women throwing themselves. And that may have happened. From all intents and purposes, he's a happily married man with a couple of kids and all this. But it, the pressure on him must be huge. You know, the Bob Willis incident that I spoke about on a previous pod, which, you know, the other day there was this big thing on the cricket going about Bob being this great guy. And obviously, you know, sadly, he had prostate cancer and he died prematurely of prostate cancer. And they were all talking about what a great man he was and what a great guy. And that may well have been the case, you know, but I have this lasting memory of Bob Willis doing this horrible thing. Of knocking all these autograph books in the air and being really rude to somebody and really aggressively rude to a minor. This person was young, right? But that we were not living in the cell phone days. That could have ruined his career.
Absolutely, yeah.
That could have destroyed his career, what took place that day. So there's a lot of pressure that people in the media are under in that respect. But there's also this feeling, you can imagine if someone like Hugh Edwards has been getting on his fucking laptop and, oh, let's go on this, and, oh, look at them, they're good looking, they're sending these, oh, hi there, who are you, I'm Hugh, and all this bullshit. And if they've got away with that, you know, let's say a couple of times, this feeling like, oh, I can get away with this.
Yeah.
Ooh, and he's there beating his meat, getting really excited. This feeling of invincibility, perhaps. Feeling that I can do anything, you know.
How would you, to finish off, Dave, what do you think or hope will happen next?
I hope it'll just fizzle out, fade away. But unfortunately, what will happen is that this fella's career's over, you know.
Do you think?
Oh, he's never coming back. I don't think he's ever going to come back as a newsreader. And I think like Philip Schofield said with him, I think he's... But you know what? They've had their day, haven't they? They've done well, haven't they? Both of them have had long careers in the media, and it's a privilege. So retire gracefully, do a podcast, have a bit of fun.
Maybe Hugh or Phil will never be on one of the main channels again. But I think both of them have... Well, I mean, it's not finished with you, but the reality of each case has not been as bad as it was originally portrayed.
Yeah.
Was it? So I think there is room for them to come back because neither have been charged with any criminal offence.
Absolutely.
You know,
Do you know what I hope?
You know, there will be probably some broadcaster or some newspaper that... think we could get this guy on, he'll bring in the viewers, or he'll get some money in somehow.
He'd be on Talk TV, mate, with Piers Morgan.
You know what I hope
GB News. Fuck off.
I want Clive Myrie and George Alagaya
in a sauna together.
To go and visit Hugh in hospital, cheer him up, take the piss out of him, really fucking rip into him, pull his leg about what a dickhead he's been. And, you know, maybe that'll make him feel better. Because I think that's what you need at a time like this. You need your mates to, you know, tell you what a twat you've been, but make light of it.
I would like him to... make sure he builds lots of bridges with his kids, because I think that they will probably be hurting quite bad. And I think he should really just dedicate the rest of his life. I mean, the guy doesn't need to work again. He probably didn't need to work again 5 years ago.
No.
10 years ago, He's loaded, isn't he? He's fucking loaded. People in those positions, they don't retire quick enough anyway. They should fuck off and let other people come in and do the jobs. Find something else to do. There's plenty of other work, especially if you're a good speaker and orator, and you'll get paid well for it because of your reputation. But they cling on to these fucking high-profile jobs year after year after year. It's a lesson to all of them. Fuck off. Fuck off when the going's good, okay? And do something else. You've been in the job. Schofield, too long. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Edwards, too long. Time to fuck off. And I will say the same now. Alagaya, fuck off, okay? Rita Chakrabarty, fuck off. Clive Myrie, fuck off. Let other people have
he's
a go.
Not that old, Clive Myrie.
Clive Myrie's been going for fucking years and he's milking the shit out of it. So fuck off. Okay.
Let Did other you hear it when he called Tyson Fury a dickhead on air?
Yeah.
That was one of the best bits. There's no way a dickhead like him should win Sports Personality of the Year.
Brilliant.
I mean, that is a brave thing to say, isn't it, about Tyson Fury?
All I will say is sometimes it's a very good thing to go early. Call it a day. Move on. Let somebody else.
And you can do mutual masturbation online to your heart's content.
Do you think if he'd have retired 5 years ago, do you think anyone would give a shit? He'd be there banging away. No one would give a flying. No one would know him for a start. Like a 20-year-old would know who he was if he'd have retired 5 years ago. He could beat his meat in front of 20-year-olds till his heart's content. Because he wouldn't have a fucking clue who he was.
You know, I mean, it started off like, oh, he's done this awful thing. He's been exploiting minors. This is illegal, getting pictures from under 18s, which it is. And then it's like, oh, the 18-year-old comes out. Oh, he's not done anything. This is rubbish.
Yeah.
But then it turns into, oh, well, he's cheated on his wife. You know, what a bastard. You know, it's just this moralising.
Well, the hypocrisy of those fuckers saying, oh, he's cheated on his wife, from like Fleet Street fucking pressmen who have always cheated on their fucking wives. And all these fucking disgusting presenters like Morgan, who've cheated on everybody, who's been hacking people's phones, the dirty bastard, the fucker. I'm not even going to say allegedly because he's a cunt. He's an absolute cunt, right? You know, it's bollocks, isn't it? It's absolute. The hypocrisy is enormous.
I don't think he's been the worst offender, to be honest. I think
he's more
slagged off the Beeb than he has you. I think.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's the biggest. I'm just using him because he's such a fucking.
I quite like him, Dave.
He's such an inflated sort of punchable balloon because he's always there, you know. And I watch him too. Lee, listen, I watch him too. I watch talk TV. Yeah. They're all really establishment figures, aren't they? Mm. This is the thing. You're much better off being on the fringes and being a little bit anti-establishment because nobody can really fucking do you then. No one can do you. If you end up, you know, wanking yourself off on a donkey, right, and you're a fringe figure, no one can say, well, he said he was like this, you know.
Yeah.
If Iggy Pop took a shit on a duck and wanked over a donkey, no one would be surprised.
Well, I would if I didn't know was into that. I know what you're saying, though. It's more Aussie, that, isn't it? I'd say, Dave.
Well, there's Aussie. Yeah. Everyone celebrates Aussie for being a
not runner. Anymore, but he's got a bit establishment, hasn't he?
Well, he has, but even so, it's like, oh, Aussie, you bit the head off a bat. Everyone loves Aussie, don't they?
Yeah.
Because Aussie has never really conformed to what people really fucking hate is people being dead straight laced and then ending up being a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. My favourite Aussie story is when Sharon wanted to stop him going out drinking. So she hid all his clothes, right? So he just put on one of her dresses and went out. And then he was caught having a piss up the Alamo.
I've heard this.
The Alamo monument, right? And this Texan, "You goddamn hippie, how would you like if I came to Buckingham Palace and pissed up there? It's all right, mate. I don't live there. I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit."
To license it.
Cause it's hard. Do it's hard. It's harder than they will ever know.